and the question of whether women can fulfill positive commandments before time determined, there were four cases in the Talmud that discussed the problem. One was smicha, that is leaning on the korban. One was blowing shofar. One was the case of wearing tefillin. And the fourth case was aliyah l'regel. Remember, aliyah l'regel is not just going up to Yerushalayim. It is, because the pasuk says, v'lo yahu et panai rekan. It's bringing what's called the korban v'iyah. Now, in those four cases, there is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it was forbidden for the women to do such. And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi held it's perfectly all right. Now, in the analysis of those four, now the halacha, the bottom line is, the second magistrate is, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. There are some dissenting opinions, a few minority opinions, but that's the vast majority that women can fulfill any, almost any mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. And as when it comes to the only two that de facto there's some a little bit of hesitation is talis and tefillin, and we'll talk about why. Okay, it's not a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama problem, it's some other problem. And we'll talk about why and what the hesitation is, and we'll talk about it a bit later. Now, in understanding why there's a machloket between these two opinions, there is, again, a machloket between Rashi and Tosfot, how to understand, not Rabbi Yossi, but understand what was Rabbi Yehuda's objection. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say women can't do it? Rashi was of the opinion, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda objected against the others, against the other famous, is because Rashi felt that women doing a mitzvah that they're not commanded to is a form of baldosin. The women are coming along and say, God gave us another mitzvah. We're doing another mitzvah. Okay? It may, even though that everybody knows that women are not commanded of putting on tefillah, not having to sit in the sukkah, she says, I'm doing that mitzvah. And in doing so, whether she verbalized it or not, it is like baldosin, like adding an extra mitzvah. Tosos, for reasons that he cites, disagrees and says, no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree all over in every mitzvah sessions. He disagrees in these four cases. Because in these four cases, it's not just that you're doing a mitzvah sessions. In each of the four cases, there's some downside. As far as the mitzvah aseh shehazman grama says Tosfot, can do it. He doesn't agree with Rashi. There's no problem about Tosfot. Okay, the women know they're not obligated. If the woman would say, I'm obligated, right, then she might be over about Tosfot. Or that's a machloket. There's a question where they're saying you're obligated when you're not obligated. It's a problem. I don't want to get into the technicalities. But Tosfot holds, that's not good Rabbi Yehuda's objection. He's only objecting to these four cases. Because in each of these cases, there's some downside. In blowing shofar, if you're not obligated, you're playing a musical instrument, and you're not allowed to. If it's korban re'i, if it's smicha, you're not allowed to lean. Use the korban. If it's a question of wearing tefillin is very special. You need a guf naki. Why are you putting on tefillin? Why are you putting yourself in problems for you? Where you're wearing the sefer Torah on your body when you don't have to? And as far as korban re'iyah, you bring an unnecessary korban to the Beit HaMikdash, which you're not allowed to do. So in each case, there's some downside. So that's the analysis. For argument's sake, for now, just to make things simple, we only use Rashi Shita. Because remember, as far as we're concerned, Rashi represents an extreme. Because essentially, the way Tosfos learns Rabbi Yehuda, his objections are just local. They're not a general objection. He really agrees according to just local objection. We're gonna from now on only refer to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's really usher for women to do. Okay? And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi says no, women can go ahead. Okay? So now we began an analysis. What does it mean when I say a woman is exempted from doing a mitzvah? And how do we understand Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yehuda? Well, from the discussion, is everybody with me tonight? From the discussion, it seems that why, according to Rashi, does Rabbi Yehuda object? Because Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that when a woman, when we say a woman is freed from a positive commandment which time determined, Rabbi Yehuda, she's out of it completely. As far as this mitzvah is concerned, to use the strongest language possible, she's like a goy as far as this mitzvah. She has no relationship to this mitzvah. No, she has Kedusha Yisrael, there's no question. But as far as she has no relation. This mitzvah wasn't given to her. She has no connectivity, no connection to this mitzvah whatsoever. Consequently, her viewing a mitzvah says, Rashi, Baal Tov Sif, you're adding a Kriya mitzvah that doesn't exist. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argue? So through our discussion, we came out with two possible interpretations. One possible interpretation is, there's such a concept as God's army. Right? To use the Chabad terminology, Tzivot Hashem. Right? You're in God's army. Now, some people in God's army have deferments, which they can whip out anytime they want to. When they don't whip out the deferment, they are like everybody else in the army. But if they whip out the deferment, you can't say boo. They have a right to do it anytime they want to. Okay, what does that analysis lead to us? It says to us that women have the option to do a mitzvah as fully as possible anytime they want to, right? But there was another possibility of explaining Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Not that you're in God's army. No. You're not in God's army unless you're absolutely chayav, commanded to do it in a specific way. But you can volunteer. Okay? You can volunteer. And in volunteering means you can go into the army, but you're not a regular foot soldier, but you can go in from time to time and you can do certain of the obligations of the soldier. You can relieve the soldiers or do what the soldiers do. That's perfectly legitimate, and you're doing a wonderful thing and you get credit for it and mitzvah points and all that stuff. But you're still not a soldier. Okay? Now, what's the difference? We saw one specific difference, and now we're going to certainly see it in the text. But one, yes.
If you're saying that if you take deferments
out of it, then you're saying that the default is that they're chayavim to do it. The default is that they're chayavim to do it unless they want to get a deferment.
Right, which isn't the case.
When it isn't the case. But
women
don't
do it.
Well, whether they're chayav or not chayav, I mean, no. Essentially, the default is it's reshut. The women decide whether they're chayav. I decide whether or not to whip out the deferment. Now, what's the nafkamina? What's the example? Okay, nafkamina means what's the halacha outcome? Nafa means to go, mina from it. Nafkamina, what's the halacha outcome? The shatnez klal. That was a very example. That is, when I wear tzitzit with tchelet, with the blue, I wear the tchelet must be wool strings. But I heard you put wool strings with tchelet on every garment, even if it's linen. That's a classic case of shatnez. So if a woman should say, I want to wear tzitzit, right, and I want to wear it with tchelet, can she wear shatnez or not? So we said, if she is in the God's army, and she decides, yes, I want it for this mitzvah, I want to be like the rest of the troops, she can wear shatnez because she's chayiv. She decides, I'm part of the troops. Then she can wear shatnez. But if my analysis is that she's only a volunteer, maybe not. Maybe you can do things, but you can't go on the front lines. You can't do isurim. You can't, only if you're absolutely obligated, that's when you can go and do even isurim, because your tzav is a complete full in force. But if you're only a volunteer, we don't necessarily put you on. We don't let you drive the tanks. I'm sorry. We don't put you against. Your mitzvah is not serving up to push over Lavin, to push away Lavin for ambition. Okay, now, we're going to stop here with the analysis. We're going to come back later, because there's one, and we're going to regurgitate everything I just said now, but in a completely different light. Our goal now is to, did I use a Matt Nice term? Let's say we're going to redigest. We're now going to, I can see that, I raised some British hackles. What we're going to do now is now enter a new dimension, a new issue, and we're going to, and I want you to be very sensitive to the language. And if somebody is struggling in the language, he's got a problem. Something's bothering him. We'll try to understand the analysis, okay? So now let's look where we left off last time, which was on page, we jumped back and forth. Okay, let's do page 53 of the copy. Page 53. Okay. By the way, I hope that everything I said today sounds familiar, although less confused.
When you said you were distinguishing between optional and voluntary?
Distinguishing between what?
Optional and voluntary?
Optional? No, optional. All right. I'm trying to make it distinction. Again, we're getting the problem with
question.
Volunteer. No, the problem, there's a problem with the word volunteer.
Union.
I know, because
grit your teeth.
I'm trying to find the right term. I think everybody understood what I mean. I talk about a volunteer to an army rather than having a deferment. And I think that maybe as we go along, I'll find a better term, right? Because we have. That's every analogy has its problems. Every analogy has its problems. I think that everybody understands what I'm trying to get at. We'll have a private session. Let's now look at the top of page 53. Tosa says, Afal gav de Rabbi Yehuda kaligalei, even though Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and generally we do very often say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, kind of like Rabbi Yossi. We are like Rabbi Yossi, the women can do any mitzvah they want to. And that's Tosa's, and that essentially turns out to be the consensus that we pass them. Rabbi Yossi, women can do any mitzvah they want to. Okay, now, let's continue next one. Gemara Bavli, Tanya. V'chein haya, this is talking about one who is blind. One who is blind is, according to many views, is freed from all the mitzvot, all the positive commandments, midoraita, but he is obligated midorabanan. Okay, rabbinically, he's obligated. V'chein haya Rabbi Yehuda potro, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that a blind person was free mikol ha-mitzvot amurot b'Torah, all positive commandments which are written in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef was blind. He was a tremendous, tremendous scholar. He was blind. Meresh ha-ramin, in the beginning I used to say, man da amar halachik Rabbi Yehuda, one who says, that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yosef, as a blind individual, is free from all the commandments. The Amar, Summa, Patum, Min HaMitzvot. That a blind person, anybody could prove to me that the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person is free from commandments. Ka'avidna Yom HaTov HaRabbanan. I would make a Yom Tov for the rabbis. I'd make a nice bash for the rabbis. Why? My I'm not obligated, and here I am doing mitzvah. Right? But, so he thought, by not being obligated and doing mitzvot, he was better than one who was commanded. The hashtag, the shamit lahad de Rabbi Chanina, but now that I've heard that which Rabbi Chanina said, the Amar Rabbi Chanina, Gadol ha-metzuva ve-oseh, mimi she'eino metzuva ve-oseh. Greater is one who is commanded and does, over that who is not commanded and does. Manda amali ain't halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Now when someone who comes along and tells me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, now it tells me that what? That a blind person is chayav in mitzvot, avida yom tov rabban. Then I'll do a party for the rabbis. Why my time, huh? Dechim af kedina, because when I'm obligated, itli agret vei, I have greater reward. Okay? That is Rabbi Yosef was originally of the thought, the mind, that if I don't have to do something, that I'm such a good guy that I go ahead and say, God, I want to do it, that I get great people. But then he was all shook up because Rabbi Chanina came along and said, no, greater is the reward of one who's not obligated than the one who is obligated and nevertheless does. Okay, now let's, first of all, before we get on and see why this is relevant, and it's obviously relevant, because it means that a woman who is not obligated, and then we're going to have to, remember the analysis is going to have to fit in here. The different analyses are going to have to fit in here. That's not a major problem. Okay, because you'll see the reason. Why is it that Gadol ha-metzuva ve-oseh mimi she'eino metzuva ve-oseh? And there are three reasons given. One reason is given that a person who is obligated, sits and worries whether he's doing it properly. As according to Tosfos, there's a certain psychological factor. I mean, a woman, let's say, for example, who doesn't have opportunities in the sukkah. Let me put it this way: there is a concept of bitul esay. I didn't fulfill what I was obligated to do. A man who doesn't sit in the sukkah has an element of bitul esay. He didn't fulfill what he's supposed to. I mean, it's true, the mitzvah is to do. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't per se violate anything by not sitting, but I didn't fulfill what God wanted to. Now, that psychological worry, right, that I'm worried about the mitzvah, am I going to do it properly, not do it properly, that gives me extra. The mitzvah action itself is the same. Okay? But it's the psychological element that gives me the extra schar. Others say that it's a very simple technical problem. One who is obligated gets double schar, gets double reward. One, because he did what he was supposed to do. He did the mitzvah. Two, because he did what God commanded him to do. Technicality. Well, one who's not obligated, so to speak, gets mitzvah because he did the mitzvah, but doesn't get any reward because he listened to God. God, per se, didn't command him. God gave him the option. There's no reward in being subservient. Now, this leads actually into the third interpretation that says the natural inclination of one who is said, you must do it, is to say no. And by becoming subservient to God, it's really the same, the two answers are really closely related, but it's a slightly different connection. It's the subjugation to God's will is what gives me the extra reward. In any case, either way we understand it, I mean, even if I say I'm in God's army, these type of distinctions apply. The mitzvah action is worth the same, but it's the extra psychological element that makes all the difference in the world. Okay. Now, why is this, all this discussion relevant? Let's continue on. Mikan medaktek Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, this is now Tosfos in Kiddushin. Mikan medaktek Rabbeinu Tam. From here, Rabbeinu Tam learns out. The nashim mevorchot a mitzvat aseh shehazman grama afo gavte petuho. That women, not only, what did Rabbi Yossi teach us? Rabbi Yossi came along and teaches, you're not obligated, you can do the mitzvah. What about the bracha for the mitzvah? Rabbeinu Tam says, from this Gemara of Rabbi Yosef, we can learn out, he says, the comment that the Rabbeinu Tam is derived, it doesn't say it specifically, but you can learn out, the Nashim Abachor HaMitzrat Asei Shazman Kama, Afo Gap the Ptuvot Legam, even though they're completely free. The Ilav Hachi, because it was not so, Heichi Samach Rabbi Yosef, why was Rabbi Yosef so happy? Like, what did he say? Rabbi Yosef said that, at the beginning he said, I'll make a party for anybody who proves that I'm not obligated, because I'm not obligated in doing it anyway. So he says, what do you mean, why is he so happy? Why did he make a party? Look, continue. Di labachi hei samach Rabbi Yosef. V'alamafti kol ha-brachot kulam. He loses the opportunity to say all the brachot. You know, you get mitzvah points, not only for doing the mitzvah, which God commanded you, but you get mitzvah points for doing the brachot, which the rabbis commanded you. So Rabbi Yosef, big deal. So he'll get the mitzvah, he'll get, but he loses all the brachot. Because if he's not, if a person who's not obligated and does the mitzvah, can't make a bracha, he loses all the brachos. Come from this we learn, says Rabbeinu Tam, that if you're not obligated and you do a mitzvah, you can also say the bracha. And that's why Rabbi Yosef said, whoopee, because not obligated, I'll do the mitzvah, I'll get greater reward for doing the mitzvah, because I'm not obligated, that's what he thought in the beginning, right? I'm not obligated, and I'll be able to say the bracha too, I'll have my cake and eat it. So that's how Rabbeinu Tam, very clever derivation. Now, there is a discrimination on this point, and I really don't want to go into all the discussion.
You're obliged to make a bracha?
Excellent. The consensus of the poskim is that just as you have the option to make the bracha, just have the option to do the mitzvah, so you have the option to make the bracha. That's the view of most of the Rishonim. There is, however, a view of Rashi that says if you do a mitzvah, you gotta make the bracha. Rashi in a tshuva says you must make the bracha. However, the consensus of the poskim is that just as you do the mitzvah, so you have the option to do the mitzvah, so you have the option to make the bracha.
Doesn't Rashi say that if you do it, then you're over
on? No, Rashi's Rashi's interpretation of Yehuda. We don't hold that grip. We hold that grip Yosef. Okay? That was Rashi's interpretation of it. Okay. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. However, a scholar of the same generation as Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam, disagrees. Let's read the Rambam. Maimonides disagrees. Nashim shevatzu letatef patzitzit. Women who want to wear tzitzis, mitatfot, no bracha. They put on tzitzis without a bracha. V'chein shav mitzvot asei shanashim tuvot mehen. And the same thing with all the other mitzvot asei shazman kama, im ratzu lasot otan, below bracha, ein memachim biyotan. You don't object. They do it, however, without a bracha. Now this becomes the origin of an Ashkenazi Sephardi split, because the Rabbeinu Tam is the pillar in the Middle Ages, the pillar of the Ashkenazi school, while the Rambam is the pillar of the Sephardi school. Okay, now
it
sounds
as if he's saying that they must.
He says, "Yeah, oh no," he says, "below bracha." No. If they want to do it without a bracha, they can do it. Doesn't mean he's not, the point is clearly not on the bracha.
Look at the first part.
The first part is very clear. There's no question about what the Rambam means. He says if they want to be metatev, that's because you're right. I mean, there's a possibility. Second verse, second, there's a possibility. But here it says shevatzula tatev tzitzit mitatfot below. It's very clear that he says that he's excluding them from making the bracha. All right, we're going to see Rabbeinu Tam in a second. But let's try to understand why couldn't the Rambam can't believe it. What's bothering the Rambam?
Sivana.
Sivana. That's one possibility. The word v'tzivanu means that we were commanded. We weren't commanded. But remember, every time you raise an objection for the Rambam, you got to explain a bit of time. So be careful how you object, right? Just have to remember that every objection, the valid objections, Rabbeinu Tam's going to have to answer. So one objection is what? That she can't say v'tzivanu because she's really not commanded. She has the option to do it. Okay. And the rabbis, and the point is as follows. The rabbis only obligated people who were chayiv. They didn't obligate people who weren't chayiv to make the bracha. Now, let me go back and say that there is a very interesting second explanation, which states as follows. When Rabbi Yossi came along and said, women can do any mitzvah they want to, he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda said, according to Rabbi Rashi, okay? Rabbi Yehuda said what? Then why can't a woman make a bracha? Okay, now why can't a woman do a mitzvah? Because of Baal Tosef, she's adding. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, she can do any mitzvah she wants to. She can do any mitzvah she wants to, provided she doesn't think that she's really commanded. Rabbi Yossi said what? You, Rabbi Yehuda, says she can't do any mitzvah. Right? Because it's like Baal Tosef, like adding. I, Rabbi Yossi, hold, she can do any mitzvah. But suppose a woman comes along and says, I'm commanded, according to Rabbi Yossi. Is that a problem of Baal Tosef? She thinks that she really is commanded. According to Rabbi Yossi, could that be Baal Tosef? It might be. The only way Rabbi Yossi says she can do anything so she wants to, provided she knows she's not commanded. But if she goes along and says, I share Kichana with Mitzvotav Mitzivanu, she's declaring she's commanded. That might really be Baal Tosef, because she really thinks she is commanded and she's not commanded. This is in Blaze Eyes.
No, we're thinking.
Okay, let me explain. Okay, we'll start again. Going back to what we said before, we say that Rabbi Yehuda's objection to women doing mitzvah was, you're not obligated, what are you doing mitzvahs for? It's Baal Tosef, you're doing mitzvahs that you're saying, you're doing mitzvahs you're not obligated to do. Rabbi Yehuda says, what's wrong with doing mitzvahs you're not obligated to? You're allowed to do mitzvahs you're not obligated to. Mitzvahs a good thing, you're allowed to do mitzvahs you're not obligated to. As long as you don't think you're obligated. But if I come along, so it says the Rambam, but if you come along and say, I'm obligated, I share Kishanah's love at Sivanu. It's not just the problem of lying. Right? The first, what was our first objection? How do you say Sivanu? You're not obligated. That's, what's that a problem? Problem, you're lying. You can't say Sivanu when you're not obligated. The second sense, the problem is worse than just lying or misrepresenting. You have now declared something that's patently false, to the point that you may be over in Baal Tosef, because you're not saying you're obligated. Right? It's even worse as this interpretation. You've only not only represented, but you've really gone right into what Rabbi Yehuda said is just charging you with doing. So even according to Rabbi Yossi, that might be us. That would be the Rambam's understanding of why a bracha. So we have several possible interpretations of what the Rambam says. Okay.
What about this mitzvah, like women now obligated to? Taken upon by.
Yes, we'll deal with it. I promise we'll deal with it. It's very important. It's very important, and we'll have a discussion about the conservative movement and the rabbin. It's very important.
No.
It's very important. It's very important just to understand that point. And there's a very important response by Joel Roth, the conservative movement, just on that point. So we'll talk about it. Great line. Not now.
What about the language of Tijuana?
Beautiful. Hold it. Beautiful. Because remember, we're now talking about who? The Rambam. Now I got to march over into the Rabbeinu Tam's camp and see how he's going to answer. And obviously that's one possibility. He's going to have to play with it. See, Bono says, doesn't mean what it says. No, it doesn't mean what you think. I mean, the Rambam thinks that Tzivano means obligated. That's not what it really means, literally means. Okay? So that is, now we understand the Rambam. The Rambam has a problem with the word Bitzivanu, either because it's not true, with the one command, or because it's worse than not true, it puts me right into Baal Tosef, because it says I'm except, that God commanded me a mitzvah which he didn't command me, that makes me Baal Tosef.
Once you have the option, then you are in, right?
Right. That is, okay, you're 100% right. We're going to, the analysis, the double analysis,
right.
But doesn't work on the Rambam. Might not work on the Rambam. Well, it could, if the Rambam held the problem is just the language, you can be any camp you want to, but you're not obligated. You can't say. Well, we'll see what Rabbi Nathan, you know, the problem is that I'm trying to lead you to the water and then you want to drink right away and I don't want you to drink that. Just, okay? Well, things will fall into place, but let's move step by step. But you're right, there's a problem here and we'll see. Let's now move back to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Rabbeinu Tam holds that women can do any mitzvah they want to, and they can make any bracha, and they can make the bracha if they want to. Let's now try to understand Rabbeinu Tam. Before we go into Rabbeinu Tam, I have to introduce a concept called bracha she'ina tzricha. An unnecessary bracha. Okay? Let me ask you a very simple question. I walk down the street, and I see this beautiful apple tree, beautiful orange tree. And I say, baruch atah Hashem al kivah chalam, borei pri ha. Can I do that?
No.
Why not?
Why not?
What? It's a bracha, but it's a non-necessary bracha. It's a bracha that's not necessary. Let me ask you something. I walk down the street and I say, Hashem Elokim, what a wonderful tree you made. And I use God's name. Is that us or Mutu? It's Mutu. I don't understand. You just say the Baruch is not good, but Hashem Elokim, what a wonderful tree. Hashem Elokim Borei Ha'etz, what a fantastic tree. I'm using almost the same words, and all of a sudden you tell me, I can't do it. Yitalel Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Eitz. Right? I don't say Baruch Atah, I say Yitalel Shimcha. Can I do it?
Yes.
The answer is yes. One's a prayer, one's a bracha. Logic? No. But logic, no, in the sense if you want to say, the answer is brachot rabbinic in order. The rabbis, in their wisdom, wanted a particular formulation that would be special. A particular formulation where you would use God's name and it would sanctify a particular either mitzvah action or pleasure action, bori nitzamim, bori preitz, all sorts of actions. But it would be a special formulation. And to make it special, the rabbi said, you can't use it whenever you want to. And if you use it, we declare that it's a bracha labatala or a bracha shein etzricha, and you're taking God's name in vain. Because this formulation, we forbid upon you. Okay? If you want to go around, praise God, you can use any formulation you want to. No. And that's why you can sing Zmiros with God's name, although many people are careful not to use, because Jews are careful about invoking God's name. But inside of din, if you want to say Shabbat and feel it, that could have spoken, you can do it. Okay? A bracha she'ena tzricha, or a bracha levatola, they're slightly different. And again, I don't want to go into the technicalities of what's this. Is a formulation that chazal forbade unless a mitzvah, a bracha is necessary. That's a bracha is called for. Clearly, Rabbeinu Tam has to struggle with this problem. Because making a bracha when you're not commanded to make a bracha is a problem of a bracha she'ena tzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha. Just as the rabbis didn't ordain you to do the mitzvah, they didn't ordain that you have to make the bracha. The bracha is a bracha shein tzricha. Okay? This may also be something that bothers the Rambam. What is the Rambam making brachas for? Don't give me this tzivon. The tzivon problem is not, the Rambam might have nothing to do with tzivon. It's because it's a bracha shein tzricha. So this is one of the things that the Rabbeinu Tam has to deal with. Let's not see the rush. Rush. Okay, just before the line on page 54. Rabbeinu Tam says the rush. Okay, the rush is around the 1200, end of 1230 the coming era. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, the nashim yicholot levarech al kol mitzvat aseh shazman gama. Women can make a bracha on any positive commandment which is time determined. The afal gav de petira, because even though they are free from the obligation, the ein kan, and there's something missing, so don't worry about the syntax here. The ein kan mishum lo tisa al shem Hashem. Either saying a bracha she'en atzrik, an unnecessary bracha, like a bracha l'tatala, and you're taking God's name in vain, shema v'chod bracha she'en atzrik, because I'm making an unnecessary bracha, dahach drasha asmachta ba'almehi. The fact that the rabbi said that one who makes an unnecessary bracha is taking God's name in vain, biblically, that's the implication. Anybody says bracha she'en tzricha, says the Chazal, it's like lo tisa shem Hashem lekech alashah. He says it's asmachta ba'almehi. That nasmachta is a mnemonic device. Let me explain to that what that is. Remember, the oral tradition was oral. Things weren't written down except people who came home and wrote their own Egyptians. But there was no formulated text like a Mishnah or a Talmud that was passed down from generation to generation. How did the rabbis remember so much material? What they very often did was they took a text which meant something else, and they would use it as a, well, a smach actually means like a leaning post, or we would call it a hook. It's a mnemonic device, as a hook. And when you saw this, they said, I know it doesn't mean this, but I remember in the halacha, it was a mnemonic device. For instance, I'll give you one of the beautiful examples. It says, the Gemara says, when you go out to battle, you have a shovel. You have to have a shovel on your tool belt, so that if you have to go to the washroom, you can go out of the camp, go to the washroom, and cover it up. As Chazal say, you know what you learn from Masuk? Yateid means your fingers, tiye lechal alei zeinecha. When somebody says lashon hara, you should stick your fingers in your ears. Now, whenever I see that pasuk, I remember that drasha. I didn't know that Chazal didn't mean that. I know it's not literal. I know it's not in the pasuk. It's a masmachta, but it's so cute. I always remember that halacha. You're not supposed to listen to lashon hara. Now, in a much more complicated way, there are many halachot. For instance, Chazal said, you can't, the bracha she'en tzricha is taking God's, that's just it. Bracha she'en tzricha is taking God's name in vain. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't mean that it's literally lo tisa. It's Chazal's understanding. Chazal had declared, it's rabbinic, that this formulation we forbid upon you. We rabbinically declare that it's taking God's name in vain. Because actually, is it biblically taking God's name in vain? I'm giving praise to God. Why should biblically? Rabbi, we don't want you. We want this formulation to be special. Therefore, we told you not to do it. And it's like taking God's name in vain. But rabbinically, because biblically really isn't.
Yeah, but Tafas, if it's rabbinically, is it rabbinically forbidden or rabbinically stated that it's not?
You will not get
biblical
lashes for it. Rabbinical is censure for it.
So?
Because it's because, what?
So how could therefore?
What? But it's not. But it's because asmachta means it's rabbinic. It's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk doesn't refer to that case.
Fine. So midoraisa woman.
No. We haven't got to women yet. hold on. Give me another word. Okay. Now, so all he says is that as far as bracha she'en tzricha, it's all rabbinic. So therefore, so So therefore, that solves the problem. I just pushed it back one state, right? Hilkach, continue. Kiven shin mitzkavnot lebracha, since they are intended for a bracha, for a mitzvah action that they're doing, ain't karmi shum baltisa. Therefore, it's not a violation of lo tisa. Now, he hasn't solved the problem, really. Not in the Rush's formulation. We're going to see another reformulation. Several people brought the rabbinical down because he really, why does he solve me? So it's rabbinically for him. So it's not biblically. Well, it's not biblically for me, that's less of a problem. But it's not, I admit there's still a problem. Okay. The tema, hech tomra betzivanu, I still don't understand, says the Rush. How is he going to say, how are they going to say betzivanu? Bemilton lelo mechai velo midoraita velo midorabanan. But they're not neither either biblically or rabbinically. I don't understand. Now what is he hinting to?
That's different than being there.
Ah! Beautiful. Let me just mention aside, some posts say they don't understand Rabbi Natan's proof. Because who's he putting for Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef is Chaim Rabbanan. He could say Betzivanu because he's biblically obligated. How can he prove Rabbi Yosef to women? But most folks can see this. We're going to see that in a second. But that's exactly what he said. Let's continue. That's now the Rabbeinu Nissim. The Rabbeinu Nissim is later on. He's after the Rush. And he is going to give a more full formulation, which is the formulation which attempts to answer all the problems. Then we're going to go give you, and we'll give you even a fuller formulation. Okay. Ule'inyan bracha, katav Rabbeinu Tam, di'im ratzum mevachol. And when it comes to a bracha, the Rabbeinu Tam wrote that if they want to, they can make bracha. The leka mishum bracha levatam. There's no question about unnecessary or a needless bracha. Vevi raya midama Rabbi Yosef mevesha v'amino, because he quotes Rabbi Yosef that way he was so happy, etc., etc. V'im toma, if you're going to ask me, even she petuva, since she is free, she's not obligated, hechi mevarechet, how does she make a bracha? Havile bracha shena tzricha, it's an unnecessary bracha. Va'amrinan, kolam mevarech bracha shena tzricha, over mishum motisa. And the rabbi said, anybody who makes an unnecessary bracha is bothering thou shalt not take God's name in vain. The bracha shena tzricha medrabbanan. One can answer that an unnecessary bracha is only rabbinic. Umotzi shem shamayim levatala denafkodan midaftiv, and the prohibition of taking God's name in vain, which you derive from the verse, et Hashem alekechatura, you should fear your God, hani mile below bracha. That referring to without a bracha at all. You just say God's name. God. Okay? Just using using God's name, just saying it needlessly. That's taking God's name. The question of whether G-O-D is to using God's name or not, okay? But giving to it as examples, not needless. Okay, but a question is only would you use God. The whole question is whether it's only Hebrew and English or other languages as well that might be problematic too. Okay, that's only if you say it needlessly. That's why the old Christians were very careful about not saying, gosh darn it, because they didn't want to use God's name. They viewed it taking God's name in vain. Okay, Abu Bibracha, but using a formulation which is praise to God, lo mitzer al amidav, that's only forbidden rabbinically. V'dafka bebracha she'in, now he's going to come to answer your question. V'dafka bracha she'in atzlicha klal. Now see, if it's biblical, I have to be very careful. And I have to be very mocking. But now since it's rabbinic, I can start with the thumb with the interpretation. And when did the, since it's only rabbinic, when did the rabbis prohibit only what's bracha she'in atzlicha klal? Only what's totally unnecessary. Virkat ha-mitzvah v'mishu patrimeket? No. But that they should be freed. They should not be out in their bracha when they're doing a mitzvah. They're free from the mitzvah. But they're doing the mitzvah, and this is the bracha the rabbis instituted for the mitzvah. That's not eved tzricha. That's not abusing what Chazal wanted a special formulation left for brachos, right? It's not biblical. It's only rabbinic because rabbis wanted a special formulation. So, but she's doing the mitzvah. So she's using the formulation. I'm not abusing the rabbi's intention. And I know from Rabbi Yosef that this must be true. I mean, you learn that. She's trying to explain how Rabbi Yosef said brachos. Hilkach im ratzu nashim levarach al mitzvot aseh shazman grama. How it should be that a woman want to make a mitzvah, which is and a positive man, which I'm German. How it should be that they're free to do. Elu divrei Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Let's continue now. Now, if the section, I'm going to move to the next section a little quickly. If you follow, fine. Don't worry about it. If you don't follow, v'ikad the dach. When there are those who want to challenge Rabbeinu Tam, summa the Rabbi Yehuda nehi de pater min a mitzvah. What? How did Rabbeinu Tam learn that? I was challenging the whole Rabbeinu Tam's principle, and I was coming back to what you said. That what did Rabbeinu Tam want to learn out from Rabbi Yehuda? He says, "What? I don't understand how you learn it from Rabbi Yehuda." Similar Rabbi Yehuda, nehi the pater min a mitzvah, hani mili midoraita, avo midrabanan chiyuv imichayev, umishum rachi matzir Rabbi Yosef levarech, avo nashim dafilu midrabanan tuvot lo. Now some people say challenge, and we mentioned this just a minute ago. What are you learning out from Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was blind. It's true, he's biblically forbidden, but everybody agrees they're rabbinically obligated. Of course they can make brachot. But women, if they're free, we already learned this, if they're free biblically, they're also free rabbinically. So of course they can't make mitzvot. So what are you learning out from Yehuda? What are you learning from Yehuda? So he says, don't worry about it. Even though one could argue such, keep in shalom. But I don't want about the deferment, I'm in the army. So can I make brachos? So what must Rabbeinu Tam hold? He must hold the volunteers. And because if I'm in God's army, you know, and I pull out the deferment, of course that's the one who applies to me. The mitzvah was given to me. It was given to me as a rishus. It was given to me. I can do what I want. I want to do. Of course I can make brachos. But Rabbeinu Tam, as much as, I mean, he's struggling here. Because he holds that women are not in God's army. He holds that women are volunteers to God's army. It's a difference. And therefore, they can't really say with Sivano, even the rhymes, that they're connected because they get schar, and you can see him struggling. You can see he's trying to find some connection to the mitzvah. That because he holds that women are volunteers at home in the army. There are other Rishonim, okay, who clearly disagree, who hold that women are in God's army. Let's look at this. Let's now pull up this page. And this is a beautiful tshuva written by Rav Vosner, who was one of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak. Yes, Shevet Halevi, yes. You forgot one. Anybody else embarrassed enough to say they forgot? Okay, there are other Rishonim. Now this is what the way I've taught you this sugya is the way Rav Vosner learns Pshat Mahosa. Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner. His name is Shmuel Halevi Vosner Vav Alef Zayin Nun Resh from Zichro Meir in Bnei Brak. He's one of the major postmen of the generation. This is from recently released Volume 8. First Tshuva in Volume 8. And he feels Rabbeinu Tam struggling. He doesn't, so let me show you what he says. Amnam Matsati, he goes on and shows how people attacked Rabbeinu Tam for all sorts of reasons. He says the language is problematic and he's struggling too much. Amnam Matsati ba Me'iri ba Hashem, b'shmatin in our sugya v'chen kata b'me'iri chagigyo sham, b'shem chachmei tzofat, in the name of the scholars of the French school, the lahachim v'vrachot ha mitzvot ha-sei shazman gama. Why do women make brachot ha mitzvot ha-sei shazman gama? Hoel de reshut shal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but it's a reshut. They have the option. U'chalashon ha-zen nimtza, Rav Zrachi ha-kohen b'shmatin. So I mean, it's not... And there are a lot of people who agree with Rabbeinu Tam that women can make brachot, but their analysis is different. There's a stronger analysis on the part of the woman, in favor of the woman. She cut up the dachinam that need them to come into Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, the chometz atzei shasman, grandma apovishi, Ein achova reshut de mitzri. It's a permission of mitzvah. Vagami mevrachot olayim. V'hachi nafik hora'a michachmei hamakom michachmei tzorfah. That was what everybody agreed in France, that women, remember, was one of the sages of Ashkenazi Jewry, that women make brachot. Ubeir inyan zeh. Says Rav Asa, what does that mean? What a geder reshut stam or reshut de mitzvah. What does that mean? Maybe trying to make two distinctions, what we call God's army versus volunteer. One's called reshut stam, one's called reshut de mitzvah. Means one, I'm in the mitzvah, but I have the deferment. That's reshut mitzvah. One is that's called reshut stam. That's the, he's also searching for some terminology. Matzati revua hitev b'raived b'perk b'perusho l'torat kohanim v'yikra b'baraita de nashim samchot reshut v'atik ikarei dvarav hanetzachin v'zel l'shem. I'm going to quote what the Ravid says. Quote, ve'ein b'not Yisrael samchot haynu divrei Ravid. That's what Ravid says. Mepnei shi avoda b'kotshin. Because it's doing avoda b'kotshin. This is an explanation according to Tosfos, this interpretation. Don't worry about it. The smicha b'chol kocho b'inan kidiita b'chagiga. V'shur, now he goes back. B'divrei Rav Yosef Rav Shimon omrim, Nashim samchot reshut. Katav Rabad, Ika man da'amar adadat Rav Yosef Rav Shimon, afilu smicha gedola. That they can lean full strength, which is a real avoda b'kachin. They can lean full strength. What's on a b'chol kocho? Muteret b'nashim. Shekach natna b'torah l'isha chova l'anashim chova u'nashim reshut. V'anashim dumya l'anashim. The women are just like the men. L'chol mitzvat aseh shazman grama. Afu bhi shiyesh bo isur. Torah kigon tzitzit shel tchelet l'anashim. Okay? So you see, he's clear. He's the one who brings. He says, that's what it means, right? Let's get down to the next paragraph. L'maid otanu rabbeinu harava l'shita zo. D'chol ha-Torah nitna chova l'anashim u'rishut l'anashim. That's what I'm saying, gam hazman grama. V'amitzvah nitan mi'ikara gam l'anashim. The edicts were given to the women as well. וכשהם עושים המצווה, הם עושים באותה דרגה כאנשים ומקבלות שכר כאנשים. They get the same reward for the mitzvah. It's true, גדול המצווה עושה, that's because, not because of the cake, because of the cream. Right? There are other factors, because I mean, the psychological factors. That's why גדול המצווה. But as far as the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself, it's exactly the same. והותה להם כל איסור תורה שבמצווה כגון כליים וציצית ועבודה בקודשים. Whatever there's a downside, it makes no difference. They're in God's army, they do whatever the rules are. והבל ביניהם, the difference between them, רק דבר נשם הם בגדר חוב וכופן עליהם. Men are obligated and the Jewish court can force them to do it. ונשים בגדר רשות, דאין אנו מחייבים אותם. אבל אם הם עושים, הם שייכים במצווה כאנשים ומקיימים מצווה מן התורה ממש. Okay? Now, turn the page, next page. Very nice, okay? Now he's going to summarize several different shitot. Some of them we didn't mention. We actually mentioned all of them, okay? At the bottom it says Aleph. He's going to summarize the different shitot of Rishonim. Aleph. בספר המכריע לרבינו ישעיה דתורני כתב, דבין לרבי יהודה ובין לרבי יוסף, איכא בר תוסיף, באישה מקיימת מצוות עשה שהזמן גמר, even רבי יוסף agrees there could be בר תוסיף במצוות עשה שהזמן גמר, אלא לרבי יהודה גם כשאין המחווה למצוות, רבי יהודה that's even if she doesn't think about that she's commanded. Rabbi Yossi, דווקא שמכוונת למצווה, only when she thinks about that she's doing the mitzvah, because of the alkoponim, אסורה לברך. But even by Rabbi Yossi, it would be forbidden her to make the bracha, we pointed this out. The בזה הלא הוכיחה שכוונת על המצווה, והיא כבר תוסף. This is who the Rabbi the Nachri is like, I'm like the Rambam. The Rambam says the woman can't make a bracha, and the problem is that by saying I'm commanded, let's go bet. לדעת רבנו תם ודהי נהי, Amnon, now he holds what Rabbeinu Tam is of the second analysis, of the Rishut, Stam, volunteer. The Dar Rabbeinu Tam would be made Amnon Mutav Shittekayim Gam Derech Masa Mitzvah. Aber ein aber da gat mit so der nashim mamash da kach lo huta it's a nashim smicha ba chol kach. If they should go ahead and want to do smicha, the gemara says they can do smicha, but it doesn't mean smicha with a full strength, because they can't do a lavin. They can do smicha but not with all their strength. Uchahai gav me gam Rabbi Yosef kinifter v'leel v'nitchak Rabbeinu Tam halbe. Rabbeinu Tam had a struggle with the Lampisa and with the Tzivanu. Is that exactly said? I'm not saying it's not hard. He said struggle and he tried to wiggle out. Okay. Ibra, however, the Dat HaRavad, the Chen Yireh, the Lashon HaRazah, and all the French school, the Nikara Nat Nagam, Smicha Mitzvah Seshaz Mangrama, Bein Lanashim, Bein Lanashim. And the Nashim B'derech Chiyuv, and the Nashim B'derech Rishut the Mitzvah, al kshehem mekayvot, nekamot nekshavet, nekshav them mitzvah min haTorah mamash. Okay, that's it. That's the summary of the three views. This is the different analyses of the Rabbis. Okay, so we pretty much have an idea of the analysis of what it means in the woman's Rabbis. Okay. Very nice. Now, let's take out this article. This is from a selection of one of the greatest articles ever. Okay, there's an article that's been accepted by tradition, which I wrote together with my brother Dove. It's actually half of an article. It's on women's prayer services, which we'll discuss at great length. And they're trying to understand relationship in Mitzvot Aseh Shas Man Gama. When we get there, there is another interpretation of this whole sigil that gives it by Rabbi Gorin. It has all sorts of ramifications, halachic ramifications, which we'll talk about when we deal with the services. I don't know if you can hear more. But when we get there, when this material settles, we'll come back and you'll say, how did Rabbi Gorin learn that way? And it can't be, but it has all sorts of... So in the discussion of Rabbi Gorin's interpretation, we had to understand how to learn the view, the permissive view. And then this is what we write. And this is how, I should point out, this is how Rabbi Uziel and Rabbi Soloveitchik learned Rabbeinu Tam. They learned Rabbeinu Tam as if he were the Rabbi, the third school. Okay, that's how they learn it. So Rabbi Boston disagrees, but this is, they want to learn in Rabbeinu Tam that way. Okay, let's see. As clarified by Rabbi Ben Zion Chai Uziel, he was the chief rabbi at the same time as Rav Herzog, after the first chief rabbi after the establishment of the State of Israel, and Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the mitzvot were issued to the nation of Israel as a whole, men and women alike. Accordingly, both men and women possess an equal degree of Kedushat Yisrael, Jewish sanctity. Women, though, despite being part of the general obligation of Klal Yisrael, called corporate Israel, were granted a particular and individual exemption from the performance of time-determined commandments. This is not to say that time-determined commandments are irrelevant to women. There is a vast difference between one who is fundamentally subject to an obligation but exempt from its performance, and one who is not obligated altogether ab initio, Gentiles, right? Remember Rav Soloveitchik said this whole, we said, Rav Soloveitchik, the whole question of bringing brachot is irrelevant to him, he doesn't have to mention Israel. How can he say Shekhi Shalom and Mitzvot, he's not related to it. The former still falls under the umbrella of general obligation of Klal Israel, despite the exemption. A woman, therefore, may, should she so wish, now the Pliya says, should she so wish, because she doesn't have to make the brachot, she doesn't want to, join together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, perform the ritual from which she is exempt. Upon doing so, Rabbeinu Tam and Ashkenazi post can further maintain that women may also opt to recite the apocryphal blessing, including the word Vitzivanu. The phrase, who has sanctified us and commanded us, refers not to individual Jews, but to the people of Israel as a singular entity of which women are an integral part. Okay, now, look at the footnotes. Just turn the second page. Think about the footnote, second side. Okay? Now, I talked about God's army. I must admit, that's my brother's invention. this footnote was written by Dove. One can perhaps grasp the idea more fully if we consider a military unit which has received its marching orders. Nonetheless, one or two particular soldiers are granted exemptions for medical or some other personal considerations. Obviously, the exempt soldiers as well have received the orders, and as part of the parcel of the unit, they are too subject to the command. This despite the fact that they are released from performance. Moreover, should the soldiers decide to fully participate in the march with the rest of the unit, the same instructions which are addressed to the rest of the unit apply to them as well. Okay, that's Dovey's formulation. Okay, now the next point is an interesting point. There are people who are freed from doing commandments, which are forbidden to do. Okay, and this is an example of an onin. An onin is one after death, before the funeral, is freed from positive commandments, doesn't make brachos, doesn't do positive commandments. They're not allowed to. But you say, why should they be different? Why should an onin or an onenet be different than a woman that she's free from it? So that's, I mentioned to this. All this is contradistinction to an onin, okay, footnote 5. Mourning relative prior to burial, who though normally exempt from all positive commandments, may not opt to fulfill them. Skip down. Okay, the guiding principle in this case, however, is kavod hametz. That is, the reason why one is freed from doing mitzvot is because the rabbis wanted you to think about the deceased, wanted you to do everything possible in your power to do it, therefore they freed you, or to opt to do mitzvot is not covered in that. It's not paying due respect to the net, because you're not doing what I wanted you to do. They wanted you to worry about the net. Think about it, write a hespeg, right? Do something about the net. That's how we feel. To do otherwise is violating.
You're not free, you're forbidden.
You're forbidden.
Does that mean that a man whose closest relative dies is free from laying
fillet? That's right. Right, okay, the rules are very, excuse me a second. The rules are very complicated. On Shabbos, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. There's no anino, there's all sorts of rules. You're on a plane. It's very complicated. Rachmanos when it comes, ask a shot. But you are essentially freed from all possible, including pulling tefillin and breaking brachos. For instance, when you want to eat bread, you wash your hands, but don't make brachos. Because that wash your hands is like a prohibition. You're not supposed to eat when your hands are tameh. So that's a thou shalt. But to make the brachas that thou shalt, that for you. Okay, now, about this concept of vitzivanu applying to everybody, right? Klal Yisrael. Okay, look at 7. The explanation of Rabbi Uziel and Rabbi Soloveitchik that vitzivanu refers to Klal Yisrael and not to individuals finds early expression in the writings of various Rishonim and Achronim. Okay, and I have now here another 6 lines where I go ahead and demonstrate. Oh, no, I don't, not here, I cut it out. I demonstrate that it appears in all of Tzrisha. Now, similarly, the Miriam Brachot, Komi, maintains that when reciting the second paragraph of Birkat HaMazon, women say, Abritcha shechatavta b'vsareinu, v'atavata shenimadetanu. Now, if you look in many of the poskim, they say you shouldn't say it, but we do it. Why do we do it? All right? Which refers to sin, because women are part of Klal Yisrael, and they say these words referring to the nation of Israel. That's what I said. Okay, well, we're not finished yet. Let's see, are we finished yet? Okay, let me just, okay, I think we'll stop here. I've been dragging on too long. Yes, good place to stop. Yes.
And you perform a command and don't do it well, you're punished.
No. Ah, very good question. Very good question. I'll give you a question, a shall I just read today? Shall I just read today? Okay, let me, I don't want to jump, you know, I'll show you why your question is relevant. Let's say a woman, even if women are obligated in prayer, okay? Question whether women are obligated to daven maariv. Whether women accept it by themselves to daven maariv. Suppose a woman says, I'm going to daven maariv, and she forgets to say Yalaviyah. You make it go back. Now, a man who daven maariv, if he forgets Yalaviyah, he'll make him go back.
didn't say nothing. Would it make a woman go back if she forgot yellow beer? The argument is, since she wasn't obligated to do it in the first place, if she did it wrong, stop, she did it wrong. Big deal. Right? I can't hold against you for doing wrong something you didn't have to do in the first place. You don't like that?
She does it.
I have a thought of it, yeah.
Ah, so Beis Yaakov.
So I have the best.
That is one view in Pesach. Women are not obligated to women are not obligated to do it because if they didn't have to do it right, I'll give you one. If a woman takes five minim in her lulav, she wears tefillin that have five parshas in them. Is she over in Baltosa? A man would be over in Baltosa.
She's not obligated.
But you could say, she did not have to in the first place. She did it wrong, so she doesn't count. She did wrong. She doesn't say, I'm obligated.
She doesn't say,
I'm obligated.
That's proving
it again. So which depends on which argument.
But she doesn't get credit for that.
What?
Once again, it depends on which argument you're using.
That could be true. That is right. That is interesting. But I think you could wiggle out. Let me think about it for a while. But anyway, amongst the post-skin, one view is that if women are not obligated, if anybody's not obligated, not only women, principles, where the application is most common with women. If women are not obligated and they do it wrong, they're not obligated. Another cult group of poskim, which is what you find in Beis Yaakov, was, what are you doing with this? The whole other group of poskim, some of my best friends, some of the girls I dated. The other group of poskim holds that if you come and you decide that this is the other argument, if I'm coming and I'm saying I'm going to do it, I'm not obligated, but I'm going to do it, you got to do it right. You got to do it right. Clearly, this would fall between the two groups.
Now I have another, if a woman does something and it's what whoever, regardless of who is making the pasuk, that it's not correct, okay, that it isn't done correctly. Her intention, okay, is honorable because she wants to do something that's holy and good. And
it's
even
more
if
than
Rav
Avadia Seif. Rav Avadia Seif, no, just one second. Rav Avadia Seif says what you said. That is, even if I hold, like the other analysis, I'm a volunteer and therefore I really don't have to do it right. Because I'm a volunteer, so I did wrong. Right? You don't have to order, I did wrong. Rav Avadia Seif says, since my intention was to do it right? It's like I'm taking a neder. I come and I say, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm coming to do it. When you decide, when your intention is, I'm going to daven marv, you got to daven marv right. And if you didn't daven marv right, you got to do it again until you get it right.
Or you get somebody to teach you how to do it right.
I'll tell you to do your best.
Or
yes.
The question that I asked you before, yes. Why undertake to daven, say, Friday night, right. And that Friday night my grandchildren come and I can't daven? I mean, am I?
Okay, you're going, that's a general question.
Yeah.
General question, if a person takes it upon themselves to do on a regular basis, my first advice to you is, whenever you decide to do it, say B'li Neder. Say B'li Neder, but if the kids do show up, you don't have to have that Torah Nedarim. The second thing I would say to you is that if you didn't say Hatarat Nedarim, if you did Hatarat Nedarim on Rosh Hashanah, okay, men do it. Unfortunately, women don't do it. Okay? But men are very careful. For example, I'll give you an example. This year, I started, for my son Yaakov, I started saying Tell Him. I say Tell Him every day. And I realized after a couple of days, I hadn't said, and I done it like for several weeks, I hadn't said B'li Neder. Now that's not a simple problem, because I'm doing an honorable action. I'm saying Davening extra, and I didn't say B'li Neder. So when it came to, and I always find myself catching up, because I never get done the whole show. So I went to my Hatar Nadarim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. I said to the Bet Din, I want you to know I've accepted this, I want you to be my Tarnit. And from now on, I'm doing it only B'li Neder. It's not trivial. These things are, so I would suggest that you keep, or just make a declaration, you know, gather together a court, and it has to be a court of males, three males, and it can be all family members, and just say, I want to start davening, but I want you to know that it's the way nigger. I'm going to do it. But the problem is a little more complicated. We'll talk about this probably next year. A body of safe deals with the problem. What if womankind have taken on an obligation? Womankind have taken on an obligation to hear a shofar. Not individual women. Women born into shofar blowing. Nobody ever asks women where they should go to blow shofar. Every woman knows, even if they went to Beis Shaggo, that women are free. Women are freed from blowing shofar, yet every woman runs to go hear shofar blowing. And if they don't hear shofar blowing, they get somebody infected, then they go crazy. Right? The chavod of the tefeved. I'm joking, but I mean it seriously. And the postim have praised it, but it creates problems because women kind of accept it by themselves. Now, that problem is the problem of Hatarat Nedarim. The question is, what was my intention when I first accepted? And Avad Yosef is the most lenient position. This is when women accept upon themselves obligations, okay, they know that they'll be found, they may clash with family responsibilities. And therefore, everybody understands that if the kids should show up, that you can't do it, that you should bring it. Or that you can't make the shul that you should bring it. Okay, that's Avad Yosef. We make that legal presumption about women accepting violence on education. There's a lot of sense to it. But we'll come back to this question next. Bye.